Good Sunday morning. Today is June the 5th, but it's also Pentecost Sunday. And today we began with our organist playing Sweet Hour of Prayer, which goes along with my message for today. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Holy God, we gather together in worship on this day that reminds us of the coming of the Holy Spirit that brought power to your church and to its people, so that we can all live the way Jesus called upon us to live. Lord, with that power, now open our lives to receive this time together and let your words and melodies speak to our very souls. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of this. Amen. In our scripture for today, the followers of Jesus went from defeat and fear to power and victory. Eugene Bartlett supplies us with the words to this rousing song we sing as a congregation called Victory in Jesus. Please join us. Today we read the traditional scripture from Pentecost from Acts chapter 2. Please listen. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard the language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these all people who were from Galilee? Then how is it that each one hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They must have had too much wine." May God bless the reading of these words for us this day. Amen. Don Hollis, one of our elders, provides us with a special song this morning called Hymn of Heaven.
There will be a day.
Please pray with me. Lord, let now the words which come from my mouth and the meditation which is on all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, and remind us today that you are our rock and our salvation. Amen. My wife Jackie's son Tim has a master's in choral music and has worked in the educational field directing many high school choirs. Now, when he was an undergraduate at Millikan University, he used to participate each year around Advent in what they called Vespers. Vespers was in their giant auditorium and was performed by all the choral groups of the university, which was probably close to 200 students. The word Vesper comes from the Latin, which means the sixth hour, and is usually either late in the afternoon or early in the evening. The word has come to take the meaning of being any kind of evening worship service. Now, mind you, this service contains some thickly written music from several hundred years ago. Much of the singing is done in Latin. To be honest, having just led a worship service in St. Louis, then driving for 2 hours to Decatur to sit in a warm auditorium with over 3,000 people in the middle of winter to listen to music in Latin was not the easiest to stay awake for. Now, the people who designed the Vespers made it clear that the Vespers occurred in two movements. The first was the very sacred and holy part, where the audience was not even to applaud after any of the music, at least those who might still be awake. But about three quarters of the way through, the tempo changed. The music got more lively. And at that point, the audience was encouraged to not only applaud, but to start clapping to the songs and engaging in the celebration. Ah, time to wake up! Until the very last song, there was a complete expression of energy and enthusiasm. You know, that service reminded me so much of the followers of Jesus before Pentecost, and then after Pentecost. And I'd like to apply this perhaps to the church and the lives of the church today in Pentecost, where sometimes the church is awake and sometimes it's still very much asleep. You may recall the existence of the church before the coming of the Holy Spirit was by the close followers of Jesus locked in an upper room, and all the others had gone back to their homes. And there was no one around who was interested in saying anything about following Jesus. They were all hunkered down. They were all asleep. Jesus was gone. There was no leader present, no direction, no enthusiasm, no decision making, no nothing. The music was in Latin. But then the Spirit came and everyone woke up. They stood and they preached. They organized and they began to take care of one another. But not only that, they continued to reach out to others. And suddenly the church was growing with wild numbers. It was a celebration with wind and fire and languages. And I bet there was even some clapping. I once heard a preacher say in a sermon, there were two types of church people. Those who were trained to constrain are those who were open to be open. Those who wanted to be constrained simply like to come to church on Sunday, listen to a nice sermon, sing some familiar songs, see all their friends, and then go home for another week. There are lots of people like that in our church, and I suspect there will always be people like that in our churches. But when the Holy Spirit came on that first Pentecost, the power of the Spirit hit some of those people, and it hit some of us today to become hoping to be open. And we need those people in our church, because in this world today, it's becoming more and more difficult to be the church. In fact, here's how the church has changed in the last six decades. I was doing some research on the growth of the burbs after World War II. And of course, as the burbs grew, denominations saw a window of opportunity to put their denominational church in each one of these neighborhoods. Often, there were three or four denominational churches all on one corner in one neighborhood. In the 1950s and 60s, even church denominations were subject to capitalism of sorts. I began my ministry in the North County area of St. Louis, but back in those early days, even before I was born, after the war, there were two major Presbyterian denominations, and each one had to make sure they had one of their churches in these neighborhoods. So at one time, there were 14 Presbyterian churches in this rather small area of North County. It was almost like a line from the movie Field of Dreams: if you build it, they will come. It was easy back then to fill the sanctuaries. Today, in that same area, with a much larger population, there are only four Presbyterian churches, and each one of them has under 100 members. Church in today's world is tough. Today, our churches and we as church members need to live in the excitement of the Pentecostal power and not try to be sleepy in our ministry. One of the most powerful things that came out of the first Pentecost was the idea that the message of Jesus was not anything to keep bottled up or placed on a shelf, but it was a living, risen Lord and a commitment to that kind of lifestyle. And in tapping that Pentecostal power, the church and its members found something on their fingertips that the rest of the world did not quite get. They found the power of prayer. And that's a Pentecostal power that everyone can have in churches, in homes, and everyone listening to our radio broadcast. Prayer has a way of taking that person that's trained to constrain to become hoping to be open. In the book of Acts, it identifies the church getting together for three things: food, supporting one another in fellowship, and prayer. In Jesus' early ministry, the Gospels record him praying no less than 25 times. Paul talks about prayer for the church some 41 times. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, the fifth chapter and the 22nd verse reminds us to end each one of our prayers with the word Amen, which in Hebrew means, let it be so. Pentecost empowers the church by providing everyone with a stronger and more focused ability to pray. And everyone in our churches can tap into that power, that Pentecostal power, to help the difficult task before us to reach out to a world and teach them about Jesus. Rick Hamlin was having trouble breathing. It got worse and worse until he finally broke down and went to the emergency room. He was admitted to the hospital with a severe lung infection. Specialists were consulted. A strong series of antibiotics were administered. The hospital staff managed his care with great ability. Now, Rick was also very active in his church and a couple of church groups. And all of those groups, and groups even beyond the groups, got together and prayed intensely for his health and for his recovery. After almost a month, he was released from the hospital with a clean bill of health. As people were asking him about his illness, he always spent time mentioning how much he appreciated the doctors, the specialists, all the hospital staff, all of them who had come together to do an excellent job. Then one day, it hit him. He He never thanked everyone who had offered prayer. And in the mystery of medicine, no one's exactly sure what worked to make him get better. But the common thread that tied everyone and everything together was that power of prayer. The church needs prayer, and the church needs prayer warriors who will faithfully commit time to engage God in prayer and using the Pentecostal power of prayer to even move mountains, if that's what it takes. I know each one of us are at different places, particularly physically. Some of our listeners are very active in their churches as officers and program leaders. Some are teachers and help with other aspects of being church. Many have limitations because of the place they're at in life. But here's what Pentecost can do. It can make all of us powerful prayers. It is the great equalizer. If you think about it, it took untrained, uncertain, unwilling, uncommitted, unenergized early followers of Jesus, and it gave them power to do great things, including surrounding new followers with prayer. Today, in your prayer life, on this day of Pentecost, are you singing slow words in Latin? Or have you plugged into the prayer life that can be powerful? The church needs that power because the church needs you. Amen and amen. What is deeper than the mighty rolling sea? Well, according to hymn writer Haldor Lillenäs, it's the wonderful grace of Jesus. Lillenäs wrote this hymn in 1922 while he was being ordained as a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. Please join us with singing the song, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our radio broadcast on Sports Radio 1450 AM and 92.3 FM. We're bringing this to you each week as a minister of the Third Presbyterian Church, and this program is supported in part by contribution from many of our listeners. We appreciate and pray for all of you. Please join me now for our morning prayer. Gracious God, today is Pentecost, and we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that formed the church, the power that reaches others with the good news, the power that energizes each one of us, and the power that brings us together in prayer. Bless each one of our listeners and their families, and bless the work that's done in our area by our churches and by important community organizations. Let the winds blow, the fires transformation spread, the dove of the Spirit descend, and the people on earth may become transformed by the Holy Spirit. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. We send you out this morning with a congregational song, Open Our Eyes, Lord. Please join us. May the God of all creation, the Jesus of all salvation, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our advocate, send us out this day with all energy and enthusiasm to be the church in the world, and to be the church for one another. Amen. Thanks again for listening to our program. Helen Ely is our organist and pianist. Jeff Prince is our music director. This week we featured soloist Dawn Hollis. And as usual, Seth Hood did all of our AV work. And once again, we thank Bob Ayers for making us all sound good. I'm the Reverend Dr. John Shear, the pastor at TPC, saying have a blessed week and please stay safe.